This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Hope you had a great weekend and glad you're spending time with us. Signature support comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. In a bit, we'll hear from Lieutenant General Russell Honore, the hero of Katrina, who's leading the Green Army. He's down at the Capitol frequently, and he'll give us an update on what's going on in the legislature. And, of course, we'll get his take on coronavirus and COVID-19. We start with a special guest, Richard Nathan Haas. He has been president of the Council on Foreign Relations since July of 2003. He worked at high levels in the United States government under President George W. Bush. And he is with us to talk about his latest work, a book appropriately titled The World, an evergreen book that promises to remain relevant and useful as history unfolds. And, of course, right now, many of you have probably heard and seen Dr. Haas in other venues, but he is opining about the world we're in right now, which, of course, is dominated by a pandemic. Dr. Haas, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Your thoughts about where we are right now and how the United States, of course, is a country with 4.3% of the world population and has 29% of the deaths from COVID-19. What is going on, and how did we get into this situation?
Look, what I think this tells us is that, like it or not, globalization is a reality. In this case, a disease that broke out in Wuhan, China, badly handled by the Chinese authorities, reached the United States, and then we have not responded to it well. Our own performance has, shall we say, been substandard, to say the least. The lessons, you know, I draw from this is we've got to be better prepared for global challenges, whether it's future pandemics. This one was COVID-19. The next one could be COVID-25 or who knows what. We've already had the experience of terrorists on 9/11. That wasn't a one-off. Every day we have the experience of climate change, where you are, the floods and storms that are associated with it. So these are realities. And what we need to have is a serious conversation in this country about how we deal with them, how we try to prevent them, protect ourselves from them, become more resilient. That's a choice, and that's a serious, you know, conversation that we need to have. But the reason I wrote this book is I just wanted Americans to understand better this world that now will fundamentally shape their lives. And my own view is if Americans are better informed, they will make better choices, whether at the polls or in business or in their personal lives.
We, as a country, are embarking on what amounts to a Cold War with China, and this is the philosophy of the President of the United States. And, of course, many agree that China needs to be corralled and that the trade inequity is real. But on the other hand, is this the time to do it? And how far should we go?
Look, I think we need to push back against China when China is wrong, but I don't think a Cold War makes sense. What I want to have is a relationship with China where it at least keeps open the possibility of working with them when we have common interests to do it, for example, maybe on North Korea's nuclear challenge or on climate change or on disease. But, you know, take the argument a different way. Lots of people disagree with me. I understand. But just say we were successful at pushing back against China in every way. That wouldn't solve the problems here at home in terms of our competitiveness, our infrastructure, our schools. And it wouldn't solve the problems abroad in terms, again, of things like terrorism or climate change or pandemics. So I just don't think in the 21st century we can have a foreign policy that's so focused on China. I think it has to take China into account. China can be a challenge. It can even be a threat at times. But we need a foreign policy that's bigger than preoccupation with China.
We're visiting with Dr. Richard Haas. He's president of the Council on Foreign Relations, one of the major entities in America, diplomatic circles. The World is his book. The subtitle is A Brief Introduction. And Dr. Haas is a man of the world. He was an advisor to President George H.W. Bush, director of the Policy Planning Staff under Secretary of State Colin Powell, and was the U.S. envoy to both Cyprus and Northern Ireland's peace talks. Do we have diplomats in this administration who are in the same league with some of those world-famous people who served under Democrats and Republicans in previous administrations?
I I would say increasingly not. I'm sad to say this. I don't think the best and brightest necessarily choose a career anymore in the Foreign Service or in diplomacy. They're probably all doing investment banking or something like that now. But short answer is this administration has had a rough relationship with the State Department, with the Foreign Service. And so, no, we pay a price. And it's interesting, a lot of the previous secretaries of defense, including people like Robert Gates, would all say if they had an extra dollar in their pocket, they would give it to the State Department, not to the Defense Department, because they understand if we overuse the military tool of foreign policy, we can't sustain that, and we'll pay for it in lies, and ultimately we'll be less safe. We've got to use diplomacy, and we need diplomats to do diplomacy. So if I would hope that the best and brightest would once again want to make that a career, but I think that'll only happen when they see what diplomats can accomplish. And we've come a long way since diplomats were stars, but they ought to be.
I don't think even President Trump's most ardent supporters would disagree with the fact that there has been open hostility toward the diplomatic core of the United States and people who work in government, particularly in the FBI, the CIA, the deep state, as they call it. So what does this do?
With a very bad relationship with the intelligence community. By and large, this president and this administration have had an uneasy relationship, to say the least, with experts. The whole phrase deep state is not one I'm fond of. I believe that the United States needs to be able to rely on and call on a large number of people who are largely apolitical, who will serve Democrats and Republicans. I worked with a lot of them. I've worked in the Pentagon. I've worked at the State Department. I've worked at the White House. Most of the people I work with were career people. They obviously voted. They obviously had career preferences, political preferences, but they were not partisan in any way. So I think we need this continuity. We need this expertise. Presidents are free to reject it, obviously, if they want. But I always want to make informed decisions. I don't think presidents are ever well served by making decisions that haven't been exposed to people who have experience and expertise.
It's hard to assess what's going on one way or the other without it being viewed as being partisan. We live in a highly charged partisan environment in a crisis right now. How is that affecting how we're dealing with the pandemic?
Look, you're right. It's hard to get national unity at such a time. So it just weakens our response. It also weakens the example we set to the world. You know, a lot of influence in the world, it depends not just about what you do and how strong your military is and how strong your economy is, but a lot of your influence comes from the example you set. When the rest of the world looks at the United States that's divided politically, they see the uneven responses around the country to the health challenge we're facing now. They see 20-25% of Americans out of work. The rest of the world shakes its head and basically says, we don't want to emulate the United States. We're even nervous about being dependent on this country right now, given what it's going through. So this is a bad time for our influence. Now, at some point, we will recover. And then the real question is whether we put into practice the lessons of this. Do we try to improve international machinery for dealing with the inevitable crisis of our era? Are we able to come together to some extent politically and all that? We'll just see.
Well, by the end of this week, we could reach 100,000 Americans who have died of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
By Election Day, which is 24 weeks from tomorrow, that number may be double what it is now or even more. How will this affect the American morale and the American will as we engage in an election which could have cataclysmic consequences?
It's a question I ask myself. Look, obviously, the morale, the will, the whole temperament of the country will depend in part upon the statistics you mentioned, how many people have lost their lives, how many people have lost their jobs. But what probably will matter even more by the fall will be the direction, will be the arrows, will be whether people see things improving economically, whether they see things improving physically. So a critical issue could be, for example, whether this virus, there's a so-called recurrence in the fall, whether there's a new wave of outbreaks and the implications that would have for health and for the economy. So I think a lot will depend upon where things stand in September and October, which is what people will most have in the front of their minds when they decide whether and how to vote in November.
Well, Dr. Haas, you are a man who has followed the world for some time, 17 years as head of the Council on Foreign Relations. Do your colleagues, as we finish up in the next 30 seconds, do they largely have the same viewpoint as you?
Well, probably those who agree with me do, and those who disagree with me don't. It's a pretty rich conversation these days about this country and the world.
Well, the book is The World, A Brief Introduction from Richard Haas, President of the Council on Foreign Relations. Thank you, sir, and please continue your work and stay healthy. It's been
a pleasure.
We'll return with General Russell Honoré after this 90-second pause on Talk Louisiana.